I believe that the election on November 5th is the most important of our lifetime. It's a choice, not just between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, but between two opposing systems. And you know, the Bible talks about this, but you don't hear about that in the media. Today, my guest on the Strang Report is Mario Murillo. He has a prophetic word and some insights into what God said to Samuel when they were wanting to pick a leader of Israel. It's very, very serious. You need to stay tuned and hear what Mario Murillo has to say. I'm Stephen Strang, and this is the Strang Report. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to Mario Murillo, one of my favorite people to interview. And you recently got a prophetic word that you issued on your own website. It's a prophetic word about this election, which we believe is the most important election of our lifetime. Tell me and my viewers what it was that God said to you about this election coming up on November 5th.
Well, quickly, I want to qualify how severely I take prophetic words. David Wilkerson, who you and I knew very well, is a man that is a mentor of mine, and he never spoke a word that he said was from God unless it was from God. I've even been on this show with you to expose false prophecy. And so when God woke me up and said, I want you to write a blog about this election, and I want you to make a prediction of what's going to happen if the election goes a certain way. The first phrase I heard was daughter of lies. The second phrase I heard was there will be no going back from this. And then God directed me to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and it was a solemn warning from God to Israel about choosing the wrong leader. That's what it was about, choosing the wrong leader. And so, Stephen, I'm talking to the entire Christian world today in America about choosing the wrong leader and what the Lord said to me. And this is a thus saith the Lord. This is not my opinion. He took me to 1 Samuel 8. Israel wanted a king. And God told Samuel, solemnly warn the people that they were choosing disaster. In 1 Samuel, I would just want to read a couple of verses real quickly. 1 Samuel 8, verse 7 and 9. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day in which they have forsaken me, served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign after them. And then I began to read what God told Samuel to say. And I saw five things. And God said, if Kamala Harris is elected president, these are the five things that are going to happen to the United States. And it is a statement that so absolutely shook me to my core. And that's why we're here today, is because of those five things.
So why don't you outline what they are and tell us how we can respond?
As I read the verses, this is the first one that God said, it's going to cost you your sons and daughters. And the warning in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. So Samuel told the people all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and horsemen, and some will run before him with chariots. The first thing is I was alarmed when I read these set of verses, and I'm going to read a couple more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about the children. Why would she select the most anti-parent, radical individual in America, Tim Walz, as her running mate? And the first people that cheered that choice was the head of the teachers union, who is a complete radical. our children will be confiscated. And there's a, and so let me jump into the second one, war. It will bring war. And I read this, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 12, 13. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. He will set some to plow the ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. You know, Stephen, that this last week, the most chilling statement that we have probably heard in our lifetime went completely unnoticed. And what is it? It's when Putin was quoted. America is about to give the Ukraine, and I'm very adamant in my opinion on this, and I prayed about this, that we're about to give the Ukraine long-range missiles, not atomic, but long-range missiles. They'll be able to penetrate into the deeper parts of Russia. Putin went on record. When one of those missiles is fired, it will mark a declaration of war on Russia by the United States, by England, by NATO, and it will mean war. So what Samuel said is, the first thing I want you to know, if you choose this bad leader, it's going to cost you your kids. Number two, it's going to take you into war. Now, let's take a moment and analyze that. Kamala Harris is weak. She is a puppet for an international, and I'm going to talk about globalism in just a moment. She is incapable of standing up to the, it isn't that she can't stand up to North Korea, stand up to China, or stand up to Russia. That isn't what makes her dangerous, is she can't stand up to the complex that wants war and wants our boys to go and die in battles we don't need to. Three presidents have taken us to war: George W. Bush, Obama, Biden. When Trump was president, no wars. We didn't go to any war. Now, listen to what Trump said. He said, if I were president, this never would have happened. Now, what I'm going to say is very controversial here, Steve, and I hope you'll bear with me. I am a very strong supporter of Israel. I don't believe that Israel should stop until they win, because their enemy does not want them to exist. There is no such thing as a two-state solution when your enemy says you have no right to exist. So when you say from the river to the sea, Gaza shall be free, the only way that can ever happen is Israel is wiped off the map. Now, here's the irony of the world. Everyone wants Israel to negotiate a peace treaty, but they're not pushing for the same thing in the Ukraine. They want the Ukraine to keep fighting. Israel's the only nation in the world that is not allowed to win a war. We don't let them. But they must, and they must eradicate Hamas and Hezbollah, period. Now, why are we not pushing the Ukraine in a peace treaty? Because they want war. They want war. If ever there was a statement made by a president that we needed to hear is this: if I had been president, this never would have happened. Number two, if I am president, this will be over within a month, because Trump has this ability to sit down with Putin, sit down with the Ukraine and say, boys, you're not going to play this game at the expense of the world. We're not going to take a territorial dispute and turn it into World War III. It is the opposite. The world should be telling the Ukraine and Russia to sit down and talk. The world should be telling Israel, keep fighting until you win. What I believe is that Samuel the prophet said to Israel, you choose a wrong leader and he's going to take you to war, and we will be in a war if she becomes president. Everyone needs to know that. And I got more, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond.
Well, I think what you're saying is very, very important. And I believe that you're absolutely right on. So go ahead and tell us the other points. And then I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and Kamala Harris and this election.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Holy Spirit then spoke to me very clearly about this. He will take the best. In verse 14 and 15 of 1 Samuel 8, And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive gardens, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and will give it to his officers and servants. This is the finest, concise description of socialism that has ever been written in the history of the world, right there. And it's ominous and prophetic that this woman is a socialist. Her father was a Marxist. She'll do anything to be elected. She's lying. She's waffling on points. I am from San Francisco. I was born and raised in the city. I've watched her career since she entered into an affair with Willie Brown and began her climb through non-action, non-effectiveness, non-honesty until this moment that she's been brought. She's been chosen not for her ability, but for her lack of ability. The ability that the deep state needs from Kamala is a pliable spirit that is willing to do or say anything and feel no conscience pang about it. What does that mean about taking the best? What he said, what the Samuel's telling him, here's what he's going to do. Confiscate your wealth and give it to her friends, give it to his friends. Socialism has always been a Ponzi scheme. People that don't know what a Ponzi scheme is, he was an individual that invented a system of getting people to believe that they ought to invest in something because it's going to multiply many times. And the people that first get in get an immediate financial return, but as a pyramid scheme, the returns stop, and the people that first got in are enriched. We're going to watch the money taken from the American middle class and given it to the friends of an elite. There are people that are preying on young, idealistic minds and telling them this is about equity, this is about justice. This is not. This is a scheme to get you to believe that it's for the greater good, and then it will all be put into the hands of an elite group, and that's what it is. Finally, he will steal the productivity of workers to his own enrichment. Verse 16 and 17, he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his bondservants. I'm going to talk about the 20 million people that have come in here illegally. And in Springfield, Missouri, what they're trying to say, it's like Shakespeare, we protest too much. Oh, there really aren't that many people being murdered. Oh, they aren't eating your pets. Oh, they really aren't criminals. And it's almost like, yeah, well, that's fine. But even if they don't eat your pet, don't commit a crime, they're absorbing community funds that are being taken from your children, being taken from your job and your prosperity and your future. You can't bring in 20,000 people to a small town in Ohio and not suddenly wreck the ecosystem of money and housing and healthcare and everything else. So this is the most insulting thing to the American people. Folks, listen to me. This is the most insulting thing that they want to frame those Americans who don't want them in their communities as being racist, unsympathetic to the poor. A nation that doesn't take care of its own will not survive. And that's really what's going on, the productivity. But here is the most chilling part. And I gotta read this to you. This is number five. You're going to lose the voice of God. That's what Samuel said. You're going to lose the voice of God. Not only, then the real coup d'etat is coming in a moment. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you've chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. And here's what it says next. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They knew, say, church, they knew that what the prophet said would happen was going to happen. They did not deny that war wasn't coming. They didn't dispute the fact that their children would be perverted. They did not argue with the prophet that all of these things would happen in the greatest transfer of wealth in their history under King Saul. What they did say is we want it anyway. And you got to ask yourself, if Trump derangement syndrome doesn't extend to the point where I don't care. People are listening to Taylor Swift. And I said this to people. All right, listen to her choice of president, but understand this. 9 out of 10 of her songs are about choosing the wrong person. That's what her lyrics are about. So that is not a good source. And the question becomes, if a woman so antichrist, so unbiblical, so soulless and vacuous and committed to an agenda of evil, and you're going to vote for her anyway, what do you think is going to be the repercussions? God told Israel, you're going to pray and I'm not going to listen to you. When you come back to me and wonder why they're putting tampon machines in your boys' bathroom at your school, when you understand that your job has been replaced by someone from another country, when crime is rampant, when evil is everywhere, when churches are censored, when the very pastors who now refuse to tell the truth in the future won't be allowed to tell the truth, when preachers who say, I cannot come out publicly for Trump because I'll lose my church. Well, what happens when your church is locked down and taken from you? This is the hour to speak out. And I feel significantly the greatest motivation in verse 20. And this is the fifth one. And I interrupted it because I wanted to get to it after I mentioned prayer. That we may also be like all the other nations. Verse 20. It's about globalism. You see, when the devil tries to destroy Israel, I got to talk real fast because I'm using up way too much time. Lord, help me. When the devil tries to destroy Israel, how does he do it? By replacing their matrix of being created by God as a nation born of God to get another system. When these people ask for a king, they are saying, we want to be like the other nations. Well, you can't say that until you answer the question, what kind of a nation are we? Founded by God, founded on the promise of God to Abraham and the covenants of God and the law that came from the mountain through Moses. That's who we are. That's our identity. We cannot say that our own wits or our own power did it. Similarly, the globalist agenda is to erase the Christian matrix of America. That's our safety. That's our sanity. That's our future. That's our prosperity. We are one nation under God. And this idea that you can look at the Declaration of Independence, that everyone is endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. They are saying, we're going to build a nation based on God. God told us to start America. We're building America under Christian principles. Kamala Harris is the end of that. And there's no coming back from it.
You know, what you say is so important, and we're a very divided country. It looks like this election is going to be very, very close. Several recent elections have been very, very close. I'm guessing that most of the people that are watching probably agree with what you and I are saying. The problem, as I see it, Mario, is that a lot of Christians are going to sit this out. If people who are born again, who believe the Bible, go to the poll, they will vote for the conservative candidate, whether it's Donald Trump or someone else. They just will. The problem is a lot of people stay home because they don't like Donald Trump for some reason. In fact, one of my very, very best friends this week in a private conversation was kind of complaining to me that he likes Donald Trump's policies, but doesn't like some of his tweets. Now, I don't know that he's going to stay home. But the polls, the people that poll this, show that 25 to 30% of born-again Christians won't even go vote. So talk to me about that, because really what people can do that are watching, if you know someone who's on the fence or someone who might not vote, or even your own pastor who's maybe like the pastor you just spoke of is hesitant to say something because he might lose some congregation members, what can we do to get our side, people who want righteousness and judgment and all of these things that the Bible talks about, we want that in our country. How can we get out the vote?
The first thing is to expose the lies. Number one, not voting is a vote for Kamala. I know a lot of people are going to manifest when they hear that, but it's absolutely true. When evil is trying to get in and you're not involved in stopping that evil, you have voted for that evil. Silence in the face of evil, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, is evil. You say, well, Mara, I'm not going to choose either one of them. Yes, you are. Now, you say, I don't like Trump because you're short-sighted. Anyone that consciously votes for Kamala Harris knows she has very little talent. She's never succeeded at hardly anything she's ever tried. They're not voting for her. They are overlooking her flaws. The left is overlooking all of Kamala Harris's they're overlooking the fact that she was chosen illegally in the primary. There was never a primary for her. They know she's been commandeered. They're overlooking all that because they want the system that she represents. It's not her. They want the system and the values she represents. Conversely, you shouldn't be looking at this as you voting for Donald Trump. You should be seeing this as that a rough character is the means by which the church will buy time to restore freedom and morality in this country. So think of it as the thing that Donald Trump represents, the onslaught against abortion. See, right now I'm mad at some of the leaders of the pro-life movement because they're so short-sighted. They're angry with Trump that he sent the abortion issue back to the states where it belonged. But he overturned Roe v. Wade. And how can you as a pro-lifer say, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm going to allow Kamala Harris to come to power, and there will be no pro-life movement if she wins. So this is really cowardice. This is really the old case of, if I publicly stand for Trump in the pulpit, I'm going to get a bunch of grief. Instead, you're going to inherit grief for your children. So here's what Thomas Paine said. If there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my child may have peace. Pastor, what's important, your current reputation or your children or your grandchildren's freedom? What's more important right now? The idea that you can prevent arguments at parties, that you're going to lose the support of your woke Christian friends, or the nation goes down the drain. You got to vote. You got to tell people to vote. You got to understand what it is. And finally, I have two imperatives in my life. Number one is to preach the gospel. That's why you see that tent behind me. I'm going after every soul I can get. I'm preaching Christ to all of them. Number two is to protect my freedom to preach the gospel. That's why I'm politically involved. You know, it's very interesting how I'm being called a politician right now. And I've said this to you before, Steve. I preached against drugs for decades. No one ever accused me of being a pharmacist. But I preach against the evil of politics and suddenly I'm a politician? Not so. By the same context that I have opposed gang warfare, drug addiction, and godlessness and atheism, I am now opposing Kamala Harris because I believe she is the puppet embodiment of a system that is here to destroy us. How can I be a man of God and not fight that? When you can't even pray the Lord's Prayer right now with honesty and support her, because it says, deliver us from evil. And when you ask God to deliver you from evil and he provides the mechanism to be delivered from evil and you don't use it, you are mocking God and you're mocking the Lord's Prayer. Amen.
So well said. And in the minute or so we have left, I'd like you to pray. And then I'll be back with a word afterward.
Now, Father, I thank you that everyone that's watching in the name of Jesus will be quickened to their job and not be guilty of the sin of Judges chapter 5, where the angel said, cursed is Maruz, for they did not go out to the Lord's battle in the day of war. There's no neutrality now. We can't be neutral about our children or our future. God, I pray that a mighty conviction of the Holy Spirit will fall upon everyone who's watching, and they'll know that they know what is their duty in this situation. Amen.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for staying tuned. You know, each of us can do our part in our circle of influence to get people to vote. That's what I'm concerned about. It's not just about two candidates, as Mario Murillo said. It's about two different systems. And there's too many people, too many God-fearing, Bible-believing, born-again believers who will sit out this election. But we need to apply whatever influence, whatever peer pressure we can to get people to go to the polls. And one of the things you can do is share this with others. You can read the blog that we're putting on charismanews.com. You can forward that. You can put it on social media. And while you're at it, be sure to subscribe to the Strang Report so you can, and hit the little bell so you're notified every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time when we have another edition of the Strang Report. Thank you for watching. Until next time, God bless you.